points for this day, this Tuesday. You better get out your pocketbooks, Michigan, because this recount, well, you and I get to pay the lion's share of it here in Michigan if it goes forward. That will happen tomorrow if Jill Stein carries on with her harebrained idea of recounting votes in Michigan for no apparent reason, because there is no evidence of hacking, no evidence of fraud, no voter of violations of any sort that has been identified. $5 million. We'll talk about that. Terrorism at Ohio State University as well. It's a mess out there, my friends. And Jim Harbaugh needs to get out his checkbook as well. We'll talk about that. On the program today, Dr. John Lott. We'll talk about the OSU knife attack. Michael Dougherty will be here to talk about all things political. And Scott Brown, the former senator of Massachusetts, will be here to talk about the Trump presidency and whether or not he's being considered to head the Veterans Administration. Senator Scott Brown will join us today. It's all straight ahead right here, and you're not going to get this just anywhere. Plus, an analysis of how much money this recount is going to cost. You better take a breath. You better sit down. You better get ready. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, my friends, and welcome to it. It's a harebrained idea. The notion of recounting Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, there is no chance whatsoever that Hillary Clinton can win. But what their real goal is here, the real goal is to have all three of the states, including Michigan, miss the deadline for having their electoral votes counted. That's the game. And if you thought that that misguided attempt to overturn the election started by Green Party candidate Jill Stein was a farce, think again. Hillary Clinton's team now joining the baseless effort. It's likely going to cost Michigan taxpayers a pile of money if this charade is allowed to go forward. In fact, it could cost us millions. The estimate in Wisconsin for the recount is $3.5 million. That's because Wisconsin requires the requesting party must pay for a recount in a race with a margin of victory wider than half a percentage point. The county clerks make the estimate across the state. That's what they came up with, $3.49 million. The money must be paid in full today, and if it isn't, the Stein-Clinton coalition will have to pay more if they don't pay enough to begin with. If it isn't paid at all, the thing's over. In Michigan, however, we're not as fortunate. Our laws are a bit different. In fact, the taxpayers here, you and I, could end up footing the bill for millions of dollars. Michigan Elections Director Chris Thomas says the charge for a recount in Michigan is $125 per precinct. That would bring the grand total to just about $790,000 for the entire state. The counties will be forced to pick up any cost above that amount. You know, the counties that already have strapped budgets, no way to foot the bill without making cuts elsewhere. This will be a devastating financial blow to Michigan, dished out by the Democrats who simply refused to accept that they were beaten. And Michigan could pay a bill of $5 million or more. Why? Pretty simple. Michigan had a lot more voters than the Badger State. I'm going to go ahead and assume that their county clerks were right on putting together their figure of $3.5 million. Wisconsin voters cast just under 2.8 million ballots, and Michigan had just over 4.5 million votes cast on Election Day. Now, that means it's easy to assume that Michigan taxpayers could put up big money. For the sake of argument, let's do it this way. Say Michigan's bill came in 62% larger than Wisconsin's because that many more ballots were cast. The total bill would be around $5.6 million. Subtract Jill Stein's down payment of $790,000, and Michigan taxpayers are on the hook for $4.9 million. And the bill could be higher if there are mistakes, delays, court actions, or overruns. $4.9 million for an election that no one actually believes was hacked or is inaccurate. Not top Democrats, not the Obama administration, and not one credible person. This is a travesty on every level. Absolutely no justification to inflict this kind of stress and financial damage on Michigan simply because we chose a Republican to be president for the first time since 1988. I would hope someone of good sense would put an end to this circus, and soon. The person that could do that, of course, is Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump won. It is that simple. And the sooner the Democrats and the radical leftists accept that fact, the sooner the rest of us can get on with trying to heal a very divided nation. Your thoughts at 888-900-9966. $5 million. Your part of the bill and mine. And so if some of these rural counties, let's say Lake County, ends up having to pay another $50,000, does that mean the snow plows don't run as often? Other services are curtailed? What happens? What happens next? It's not like this election is contested. It's not like it's close. It's not like anyone actually believes there's something wrong here. The game is different. The game is to try to get all three of these states to miss the deadline of December 13th to have their votes in and certified so that the electors can vote on December 19th. It's an effort to delegitimize the election of Donald Trump, even though he won in the way prescribed by a wide margin. Matt standing by in Okemos. Matt, welcome aboard.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. I wanted to say, I think they already gave him the 16 electoral college votes last night. That's what I heard. Michigan.
Well, they didn't. No. You misunderstand.
Mm-hmm.
The electoral college votes on December 19th. They have not voted yet. Michigan's electors have been certified, and the vote has been certified that Donald Trump won here. Certified. No allegations of fraud, no anything. But the actual electoral college votes on December the 16th. And until
and
then what happens is the Electoral College votes are then presented to Congress in a box where the box is open, the ballots are put out, and then the Vice President of the United States reads the name of the new president. That's how it works. And in fact, on a couple of occasions in American history, the Vice President who lost the race, like Richard Nixon and Al Gore, had to actually read the name of the winner, being their opponent in an election they had lost. No, trust me. Make no mistake, Matt. I do my homework, friend.
Well, I know you do. They're rallying their base. They're basically holding onto their base here. One little short thing I wanted to say to you off subject is Trump could have them pay for the wall, Mexico, by taxing Western Union transfers of $5 to $10 over years would build up.
You know, that would help. I'm telling you, the way on that subject, I've got 10 seconds. On that subject, the way to do it is to crush the drug cartels at the border that are killing tens of thousands of Mexican citizens and bringing poison into America. Take their money, take their assets, build the wall. Everybody wins. Thank you, Matt. Got to run. It's Tuesday on the Steve Gerber Show. Be right back.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gerber Show.
I'll get back to more of the recount and nonsense, but first, a Muslim refugee that had recently campaigned and complained about a lack of places to pray on the campus of Ohio State as a practicing Muslim veered his car into a crowded sidewalk yesterday full of students before coming out with a butcher knife. At least 9 victims injured by the car, 1 critically, 2 more wounded in the knife attack. The refugee from Somalia moved here in 2014. He was killed by a campus police officer who was able to kill him before he could inflict more terror. And people that call it for limiting America's access to refugees from Muslim nations that have a lot of terrorist activity, like Somalia, are called xenophobic and racist. You tell me how that makes sense. So the guy kills maims with a car and wounds with a knife and attacks, and a good guy with a gun brings it to an end. Abdul Razak Ali Artan, born in Somalia, came here as a refugee, had become a legal permanent U.S. resident. Details emerged after a morning of confusion and conflicting reports created in part by a series of tweets from the university warning that there was an active shooter on campus. The student should run, hide, fight. The warning was prompted by what turned out to be police gunfire. It's a 60,000 student campus. Ohio State is enormous if you've never been there. And you should have seen, you know, even more disgusting, you should have seen the demeanor of the left-leaning news media, hoping, anticipating that some guy with a gun had gone berserk so they could attach their anti-gun message to it, but they froze up like they'd been bitten by snakes when they realized it was an act of terror from a refugee. This is why our vetting process needs to be more strict. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think Israel, for example, should allow refugees to the Middle East from Syria and wherever to come flooding into their country? And if not, why not? And how is Israel any different? If America should accept all of these folks, and if we don't, we're racist, bigoted, xenophobic, all of those things, then why not just open the door to Israel? I mean, what difference could there possibly be? And you see, your logic falls apart. Your point of view is indefensible. I'm all for immigration. All for it. Hell, we're all products of immigration. But when the Poles immigrated here, and the Germans, and the Czechs, and the Eastern Europeans, they didn't come here to blow us up. They had their enclaves, Little Italy, you know, Little Tokyo, little you know, places in New York City and so forth. Hell's Kitchen was a place where people came together, and it was hot and it was mean. But they became Americans, and they learned English, and they contributed. They became business owners and politicians and stars of stage and screen and everything else. Doctors and lawyers and laborers. They contributed. They didn't come here to try to destroy America. They came here to assimilate. And there's nothing wrong, and there's nothing racist about wanting assimilation and people to come in and embrace our culture, not attack it. Steve on the hotline. Steve, welcome to it.
Good morning. The bigger part that impresses me or surprises me or maybe just takes me by storm is the fact that all of a sudden the press has seen the light and they're calling a spade. I just about fell out of my chair last night watching television, listening to this thing unravel.
On which regard?
Pardon?
In which regard? On the recall?
Basically that that this was a terrorist act.
Oh, on the terrorism. You know, all right, just keeping up.
Pardon?
I'm keeping up. I wasn't sure which story you were on. So, okay. When you say they unraveled how?
Well, as events unfolded and as they explained it to us and as they explained who this person was, where he came from, and all of the details about him having a Somali connection and the terrorist end of it.
Hmm.
And it wasn't Fox News either, so it just kind of took me by surprise.
Fair enough. I appreciate the input, and it was pretty shocking to watch their faces. Stevie, always a good call. Always a good
take
call.
Take care.
All right, my friend. 888-900-9966. I have some social media comments about the recount being contemplated in Michigan, most likely going to happen starting tomorrow. The director of elections, Chris Thomas, says they're ready, but he's not sure they can meet the deadline. And there's your point, is to try to nullify 46 electoral votes, meaning Donald Trump doesn't get to 270. If they can nullify Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan because they don't make the deadline, They can nullify the whole thing. But from social media come these comments. To my progressive liberal fellow countrymen, we want you to understand this election was not a message of hate, despite what CNN and MSNBC tell you. This election was not about hatred of Obama because he's black, hatred of Clinton because she's a woman. This election was about a rejection of liberal progressive values, a rejection of socialist globalist agendas. This election was about a rise of conservative Christian values, the rise of a populist nationalist agenda. As conservatives, we extend our hand to you and ask you to lay aside your angry words and angry deeds, and let's work together to make America great and safe again. One of my favorite posts on social media about this whole recount effort. Again, $5 million. That could be the bill paid by Michigan taxpayers at the county level. At the county level, because of this ill-advised recount effort by Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton. 25 after, you're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Here on the program. Glad to have you here. It's the Steve Gruber Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 888-900-9966. By the way, if you want to read the article I wrote about Michigan having to come up with $5 million, you can do so by going to stevegruber.com or check it on Facebook and Twitter. The Steve Gruber Show on Facebook and at Steve Gruber Show, the handle to follow on Twitter. You can get that. I lay it all out for you, how Michigan, you and I could pay $5 million for a recount. Dave is checking in from Grand Rapids. Dave, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Any thinking person can see this for what it is on the Hillary. We know Hillary's backing this money by the recount, because the Green Party, what do they got, probably $20 left in their treasurer right now.
Yep.
So wouldn't that constitute a criminal charge of tampering with an election? I mean, why should we as America or Michigan citizens have to pay $5 million?
I can tell you this, Dave, we won't do it again, because we're going to have Michigan lawmakers here. If there's going to be a recount like this, a scam in the future, somebody can put up the money like they do in Wisconsin, where Wisconsin says you have to pay $3.5 million today, Tuesday, or the recount will not start in 2 days hence.
And that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah, because that's what it has to be.
Hillary could take it out of the Clinton Crime Family Foundation, and she use her own money for it.
There you go, Dave. I got to run. Great comments and concerns. But, yeah, Michigan, we could pay $5 million, because right now, the way I understand it, the way it's written, the way it is put forth, the only thing Jill Stein has to pay is $125 per precinct that comes out to $790,000 roughly here in the state of Michigan for the entire recount. The state of Wisconsin knows it's going to cost them $3.5 million. Let's look to the Trump transition team for a moment, away from the recount here, because the recount's not going to go anywhere. The hope is to try to disqualify 46 electoral votes. Seton Motley here from Less Government. Seton, welcome back.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am good. I will say this,
I'm sorry your fine state is being held hostage by these morons.
Well, what's disgusting is that you know, Wisconsin, they go out and do an estimate of what it's going to cost. So I did an analysis last night, because we're a bigger state. We cast 62% more ballots. We had about 4.5 million voters. Wisconsin had 2.9 million. And if you base it on that and you know, extrapolate out, and it's going to cost about $5.6 million here, of which Jill Stein only has to pay $790,000. We get $4.89 million we get to pay. How revolting.
Yeah, and meanwhile, she's raised more for this recount than she did for both her presidential campaigns combined.
No, so she's more than doubled what she raised this last time around. More than doubled. And come on.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton then suddenly magically joins, and then Hillary Clinton magically joins the conversation. Now, we know the recounts aren't going to change the outcome of the election, but they could do this, because Wisconsin says they don't believe they can make the deadline. And now, because they've said they won't do a hand count, Jill Stein has sued Wisconsin, bringing the whole process to a stop again. meaning Wisconsin almost for sure can't make the deadline, they said. Michigan, the guy in charge here, says he's not sure they can make the deadline, which is December 13th, even working after hours and weekends. And if the same is true in Pennsylvania, then 46 electoral votes won't be considered, which means Donald Trump's presidency will have to go to the House of Representatives for consideration. This is no small thing. People need to be aware of what's going on.
Well, I don't, unless I'm mistaken, the certified results are the certified results during the recount, are they not?
Well, I've heard that theory too.
No, I don't think it goes to the House. I think right now, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania all belong to Trump. All the electors go to Trump. And until the recount is finished and any other result is found, they will be in Trump's category. So I don't think it goes to the House.
Well, okay, and I think, okay, and I've heard that as well, but here's the problem, though. The problem with us, so $5 million, and it doesn't come from the state coffers. It comes from the individual county coffers. Each county has to make up the difference of what they can't afford or what isn't covered by Jill Stein. The counties make up the difference.
Who are already robbing their residents with property taxes out the wazoo?
Well, and the other thing is this. All of these counties are strapped, as you well know, because they've had, poor policies in the past. What's that going to mean this winter in Michigan? That they don't plow roads as often as they should? They don't run overtime for other events? I mean, that's what people are going
to
be faced with.
To pay for Jill Stein's folly.
Right. Or, have to cut somebody from their job because they don't have the money to pay them anymore. That's what we're up against. See, this is the kind of nonsense that the Democrats, that Hillary Clinton should come out and say, you know what? I lost. I conceded. We don't believe that any of the results are going to change. We're punishing Michigan, especially Michigan.
To show you how silly this is, I subject myself to Morning Joe on MSNBC every morning.
Well, yeah, what is wrong with you?
Morning Joe is laughing at Hillary.
Well, yeah, laughing, but Morning Joe, here in Michigan, we're being punished financially. Hear me out. We're being punished because for the first time since '88, we voted for a Republican, so we're going to get financially punished too.
Listen, it's completely obnoxious, and she needs to go away. They both need to go away. Both ladies need to just go right off into the distance, and again, if Jill Stein's response to Fidel Castro's death is any indication, she definitely needs to go away.
It's absurd.
It is.
It is absurd.
It's the absurdity we've come to expect, which is reason number 1,562,805 to make President Trump.
Well, now that I've got you wound up, Seton Motley here from Less Government, President thereof. Now I've got you wound up. Let me throw these two words at you, Mitt Romney.
Listen, I am much more enamored with President-elect Trump's domestic selections than I am his foreign policy selections. So my main criterion at stake at this moment is he or she going to rein in the ridiculous refugee resettlement and visa programs? That's what I care about most, first and foremost. And since that fits in with Donald Trump's broader immigration reform, I hope that's what comes out of it. I don't want Mitt Romney.
Are you suggesting we should have a tighter screening process so that Somali refugees, like the one that drove his car into a bunch of students at Ohio State and came out with a butcher knife attacking them yesterday, that these things should be, we should try to control those things and prevent them from happening? Is that what you're suggesting?
To paraphrase Donald Trump, that was extremely poor vetting. It's ridiculous. And listen, if you read Michelle Malkin's book, Sold Out, the refugee, the visa process is a complete scam. You bribe your way in, you get whoever you want in the country. Disney fired 150,000 employees and had them train their H-1B visa replacement. It's only supposed to be if you can't find somebody to do the gig here. And what these companies do is they bribe the government, and the government issues them visas anyway. And the refugee resettlement, there's a great website that's been up for years called Refugee Resettlement Watch. It's insane what goes on. There's a whole bunch of Catholic groups and other groups that get paid per refugee settled, and there's no screening whatsoever.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Anyhow, Seton, I'll give you 20 seconds here for the last word because we talked about so much. Finish it up for me.
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of, I wasn't old enough. I spoke to someone who was around for Reagan Reagan didn't appoint this many conservatives to the Trump administration. I think we're going to be very, very pleased with what goes on, certainly domestically, with this presidency.
All right. Seton Motley, it's always a pleasure. Good talking to you, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Good luck with that, with this Stein nonsense.
Yeah. I'll have a Stein full of beer, please. 41 after on the Steve Gruber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Well, if you didn't see it, Black Friday set an all-new record for gun background checks. More than 185,000, biggest ever since they started tracking the deal. My next guest here, Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Doctor, welcome back.
Good morning.
Why do you know, Hillary Clinton lost. I would have thought this made sense, this record background check, but with Donald Trump, a pro-Second Amendment president coming in, I'm a little surprised. Why do you think that is?
I'm surprised, too. I mean, obviously, after the election, the stocks for some of the gun companies were down like 20 percentage points or so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that's kind of the best predictor. I don't know. We'll have to see whether this continues or not. But I would have thought, for exactly the reasons why you were bringing up, that sales would have gone down, that it's just that people have been buying at record rates for a while, because they were concerned about what types of gun laws would be coming across nationally. Now, obviously, you have places like California and stuff where there's still real threats that are there. But I'm not really sure.
You know, man, maybe you can help me with this, because I didn't even notice, and this would be where you'd step up and be the professor, which is, you know, California had some gun control measures on the ballot on the 8th of November and got so caught up in the presidential election. I don't know what the outcome were of some of these gun ban and gun restriction proposals around the country.
Right. Well, the California one passed. The Bloomberg had two initiatives. He had one in Nevada and one in Maine that had these so-called background checks on private transfers. Obviously, they did more than that. He spent a total of $28 million just on those two initiatives. And he lost in Maine by about 4 percentage points and won in Nevada by 0.8 of 1 percentage point, which is pretty amazing. I mean, you keep on hearing in the media about how 80-90% of people support these types of laws.
The vast majority, they always say, the vast majority of Americans support this sort of thing. Well,
right.
That wouldn't indicate that.
I mean, in Nevada, he ended up spending like $35.30 per vote, which is kind of an amazing amount of money to go and spend on an initiative. And even though he spent that much, he just got 50% of the vote in that case. And the media obviously also gave him very sympathetic coverage. But even though he could write up the initiative the way he wanted, he lost in one state, and the other one, he just barely squeaked by despite massive amounts of expenditure.
I want to bet, but obviously he won one, and he has almost limitless resources, so I would expect to see similar measures pop up in a couple of states in 2018, wouldn't you?
Right. I mean, that's basically been his promise, that he's going to just devote whatever money is necessary every couple of years to put in other initiatives on the ballot.
Well, there you go. All right, so yesterday, we Americans witnessed another terrorist attack, this time at Ohio State University in the city of Columbus, where a Somali refugee rammed his car into a sidewalk full of students, injuring 9, one critically, got out of the car with a knife, stabbed a couple more, went, you know, berserk. And in fact, it sounds like what ISIS was calling for, random knife attacks and so forth.
Right.
But then a cool-thinking campus police officer double tapped him, and that was the end of the problem. It's just interesting that, you know, it started yesterday watching the news media thinking active shooter, and they had this, you know, you can pick up on it. Like, they're almost hoping that it's some white guy with a shaved head and a swastika. And then when they realize it's a terrorist from Somalia, they're like, their whole demeanor changes. Do you get that, or is it just me?
No, I think you're right. And there are other stories that came out, too. You had stories from, like, Reuters, for example, talking about Ohio's gun laws and how they had the lax, you know, very lax gun laws compared to the rest of the country, which isn't quite true. But they were talking about that before they even knew whether or not this terrorist had used a gun in the attack. You know, they already, it seems like they must have already had the story kind of queued up, just ready to go. You know, and they put it out there thinking that, well, it must have been a gun that he used. But as you say, it was a combination of using his vehicle and a butcher's knife.
Which is what ISIS has been calling for, is random attacks right on, you know, the infidels, you and I suppose, around the world. So I wonder if, you know, people, this, yeah, I have to wonder, is this the sort of thing that gets people's attention, that wakes them up? Because if you had been there with a concealed carry permit and the police officer had not, you could have been the hero, you being anybody, you know, you could have been the hero there to stop somebody like this, because that's what concealed carry is about, is to neutralize a threat just like that. It's a perfect example, is it not?
I mean, I agree. I have a whole chapter in my book, The War on Guns, where I go through and look at the statements from these types of terrorists, these types of killers, where they go and say they explicitly try to pick places where victims can't have guns to defend themselves, because it makes it easier for them to go and kill people and therefore kill more potential victims.
Yeah, and their goal is to inflict as much damage as possible, right?
Right. And I'm sure that was the case in this guy's attack yesterday. You know, so, I mean, it was fortunate that the police officer was nearby, that he was able to get there quickly. But, you know, even for a few minutes delay in him being able to go and stop the attacker, if somebody at the scene had had a permanent concealed handgun, I mean, seconds count. And even in that case, it's possible that if somebody was there, they could have limited the damage even further.
Oh, there you go. All right, The War on Guns is your latest book. Where can people find that and some of your other publications?
It should be in most bookstores, but Amazon and Barnes & Noble are the cheapest places online.
And if they want to read about what you're doing right now, where do they go?
Well, they go to our website at crimeresearch.org.
Dr. John Lott, the resident expert on guns, self-defense, and the Second Amendment. Thank you, as always.
Okay, I'm going to need some official title, given that I'm on here all the time. But anyway.
All right, we'll get one of those for you.